We got back to talking about the NFL on the Return the Picks podcast this week after a long hiatus as I got over the defeat of the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl back in February. So what better way to start than talking to somebody closely linked to the New York Giants? Brandon London, host of the Game Day content for the New York Giants, working as well for SNY TV and the New York Post on social media, joined us to talk about the first day of practice for the Giants today, how they did with the connection between Daniel Jones, who just got paid, and Darren Waller, the stud tight end who's just come into the team for this season. We got into all of that and plenty more around the NFL, and particularly looking at the NFL in the offseason. Let's dive straight into it.
Over the middle, picked off! Sees it fired, intercepted!
Blitz coming. Pass is picked off!
Invisible. He's going to go looking again, and it's picked off by Stephon Gilmore, down on the right sideline.
Into the end zone, and he's picked off! Back the other way.
First day, bro, I think this is the better, this is the best first day they've had offensively at camp for a long time. Obviously, David Sills caught about 3-4 touchdowns. They worked a lot of red zone work. You know, first day of camp, you don't want to open it up where you're going deep. Guys, that's where you susceptible of guys messing up a hamstring, quad, that sort of thing. So they shorten the workload in terms of area. But I've never seen the Giants offense hit so much, just hit on so many different plays. And one thing was obviously the first touchdown of the day came in 7-on-7s in red zone. Saquon Barkley with a sick catch on the sideline, got 2 feet in, right in front of the fans. It was almost like it was written. You know, the whole place, the entire training camp of fans just erupted in the cheers and all, and everyone looked. But the first thing I thought when I saw that was like, damn, that's a great and cheap catch. Like, you got that great catch for the cheap for only, what, 10, maybe 11 mil this year? So that's the first thing that popped up in my head. I know I shouldn't be thinking like that. But at the end of the day, man, one last thing. You didn't see drop balls. You didn't see balls put on the ground. Every guy was catching their ball that was thrown to them, whether it was thrown by Tyrod Taylor, whether it was thrown by Daniel Jones. Even DeVito, the third string guy, had some great hookups with some of the guys who were running with the threes in terms of wide receivers. So I think that's the biggest thing I took away from it was, wow, these guys aren't putting balls on the ground. If it's catchable, they're coming down with it. The second thing that I took, whatever Daniel Jones and Darren Waller were doing in the offseason, it clearly was working in terms of their chemistry, their synchness. They had hooked up on about 2 touchdowns, you know, in the red zone. He was looking for him. Darren Waller is anything and everything as advertised. There's a reason why this guy had 2 100-catch seasons, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons as a tight end. And a couple of weeks ago, I was in-house, and I spoke with tight ends coach Andy Bishop. He was my special teams coordinator in Canada in the CFL, and now he's a tight ends coach. And he was just talking about how Darren Waller during OTAs was anything and everything as advertised. And they were saying, like, one thing that they did in Las Vegas, they ran him down during the week. So if you make a player practice too hard, you can run them down. So they have like this GPS, this tracking system on him to see how much he's running, how fast he's going. Do you think you're overusing him? If he gets his plays and get him out, you're not going to see him in any BS stuff, run blocking for no reason, or, you know, they're very calculated on how he's going to get his work. And that's something that I picked up on as well. But, you know, it was a typical man-to-man day on defense. You don't run. You don't try and blitz. You don't try and do too much. Just man-to-man, you know, see who can play. Deonte Banks, the first-round draft pick corner, he got beat by Isaiah Hodgins on the slant K, which is like a shortened post corner in the red zone, but he was all over guys, you know, in other routes and stuff, you know. So he's just looking at it like this is the first time in a long time you looked at the Giants day one. I know it's only day one. I'm not going to give anyone.
I was going to say, you're anointing them with a Lombardi from the sound of it at this point.
No. It's just, bro. Honestly, from what you've seen over the years, man, like from, you know, and there's no disrespect. I'm not going to disrespect the organization, you know, like I'll be there tomorrow. It's just what you've seen, not only as a former player, but I guess you can kind of say I'm a fan of the Oregon. I don't root for like a set NFL team, but if I did, it'd be the Giants. You know, their success is tied into, you know, my life. But this is the first time from Shermer, from McAdoo, from Joe Judge, all these guys. Go back and look at the beginning reports, the first week, week and a half of camp, what people were saying about the Giants offense. I guarantee you, when you read the reports today, Jordan Renans for ESPN, Pat Leonard, all those guys, our New York Post, Paul Schwartz, it's going to be positive reports when you talk about the offense offensively. So again, that's something to sit back and kind of keep an eye on, but you can only go up from here in terms of camp and getting better and getting chemistry.
It seems like the Giants, obviously getting Darboll in last year was so important for the energy and the aura around that team. And you saw the effect that he had when they came to London, and you were part of that trip, obviously. And we've seen the Giants in previous years look, a little lackluster. There was a lot of talk pre-season with other coaches, and talk is relatively cheap in the NFL. Darboll brings that and brings the intensity in the season as well. But this offseason, you talked about Saquon, $11 million, that's cheap. Daniel Jones gets signed on a long-term deal. Whether people are in on that or not, we will discuss, I'm sure, at another point when we have a chat here. But you brought in Darren Waller. The ducks are being lined up in a row now. Those pieces are being put together after what was, I guess, the foundation year for Darboll. Does that bring a level of expectation, though, on this Giants team after what they did last season, having an impressive year, going to the playoffs, obviously? The bar's been set pretty high for them. So it has to start well, doesn't it, on day one this year?
It's New York sports, man. You're a pro. You're a pro team in New York. It's the expectations are always there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the Yankees and the Mets from what both of them did. Look at Aaron Judge, 62 home runs last year. He's missed what the last 20, 30 something games after getting paid. You know, at first you're like, oh, when's the toe going to be all right? When's he going to be back? But now fans are getting antsy to where it's like, oh, the Yankees have no bats. When's Aaron Judge get back? We paid that guy. Da, da, da. Mm-hmm. They're booing guys. Carlos Rodon got booed, you know, because the expectation is always there when it comes to playing on a New York professional sports team. So when it comes to Daniel Jones, this offense, this entire team going off of what they did last year, yeah, the expectation is high and it's going to be there. It's like that every year. Like everyone, like I don't think. Even when Brian Daboll came in last year, when people were like, oh, I don't know what we're going to be. We're going to you were still expected to win games. You're still expected to be a force within the NFC East and to make some noise throughout the NFL. This is a John Mara owned football team. The Maras is a big deal when it comes to football royalty in the NFL. Giants fans going back to those early dates, they want to see wins and some hard-nosed football. So the expectations is high for this team, which is why I'm approaching this season. I'm not going to be too high. I'm not yelling Super Bowl off the top of the mountain and all. I'm going to allow this team to continue to work and get better 1% each day and prove themselves 1% each day. We've got ourselves a very long season that's about to come around. And we all know that. There could be teams that come out, start 3-1 or 6-1 out the gate, and then they're absolutely horrific on the back end because the schedule got tougher. They didn't self-analyze, self-scout, and fix some of the little things that they were doing wrong when they were winning. And then the injury bug is always there. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to me talking highly of the Giants offense from what I saw today. That's just today. Tomorrow, when I'm back out there, I want to see you expand more than what you did. 1% each day, 1%. So to answer your question, the expectations are riding extremely high when it comes to this football team. And there's still question marks that have to be answered. Who's going to start at safety opposite of Xavier McKinney? Who's our interior lineman? Did Evan Neal come back bigger, faster, stronger, better? Who's, you know, cornerback two? Is Deontay Banks going to hold up as CB2? You're going to throw at him. He's a rookie. There's so many questions still lying in this falling around this team. But you watch day by day to see them answer those questions and to put things in place, put systems in place for them to come together culturally, not only in the locker room, but on the field to win games and get back to the level of success that they had last year.
And talking on that, in terms of people taking a step or getting better, do you reckon that Kayvon Thibodeau will make a big step this year? Because watching lots of his games and lots of the tape last year, it looks like he was just fractions or whiskers away from big splash plays quite a lot. It feels like if he just learns a few little more tips and tricks, he might just make the sort of edge change that we expect as he came out as he was drafted.
When it comes to Kayvon's, getting progression, mm-hmm. I think a lot of that is going to be tied into the health of Azeez Ojulari. You know, okay. If you're Kayvon and you're the main guy on that D-line, yeah, you got, calling another man, grown man. You got Sexy Dexy on the line. Dexter Lawrence. I just call another
never
grown man.
Never heard that before. That's wow, great.
Wow. That's just the first thing that popped up in my head just now, too. So it's like,
have you got a nickname for Leonard Williams as well?
Big cat Leonard Williams, who I just shot something with today when he came off the practice field. Those three, Kayvon, Dex, Leonard Williams, that's a force, but you need that force. Look at the Eagles. Yeah. Look at the Commanders. Look at some of the stronger teams in this league. Your pass rush. You got to be able to wreck the decision maker. So I think a lot of Kayvon's success is going to be having that outside presence to where he doesn't have to worry about getting doubled, or he could be a little bit more free in terms of how he attacks not only the left tackle, but the drop point of a quarterback and attacks that the actual quarterback as well. So I think Azeez Ojulari showed how valuable he was where when he did play last year, he was getting sacks. The man came in and he was playing well when he was healthy, but it was one little injury after the next. And that put a rookie in Kayvon Thibodeau, that put a lot on his plate on one being top five, top six draft pick. Yeah. And then two, having to get there, having to be the guy when it comes to pass rush on this Wink Martindale defense. So is he a guy that I think know and will bet on came back bigger, faster, stronger, smarter? Absolutely. But a lot of the times your success is kind of directly tied in to another guy's success, and that comes from being healthy. So for Kayvon to get 10-plus sacks, double-digit sacks, I believe there has to be a healthy Azeez Ojulari that plays the bulk of at least 14 to 16 games this year, as opposed to what single-digit I believe he played in last year. So I think Kayvon turns the step, but I think he turns that step or that corner a lot faster if he's got
help on the side.
And Robin on the other side.
Yeah. Well, it's like I was thinking about we haven't done a podcast in a long time, Brandon. We're gonna I was thinking about things to talk about. I was looking at the Falcons off season and stuff. And I was just looking at our depth chart, and it just reminded me so much of I've always thought of Grady Jarrett is one of the best defensive players in the league, but he doesn't get the stats because there's nobody else there. So if you need people around you, if he was on Pittsburgh Steelers or if he was with the Eagles or something, everybody would know his name. He would be a 10 plus sack guy every year. It's not just one guy, is it? You need several people on that line, or otherwise it's just nothing.
And on top of that, when it came to Grady Jarrett, you look at the Falcons secondary. I believe they were in the back the back ladder, like the last 10 when it came to turnovers, force, coverage rate, and all. So that's another part that plays into it. You can almost get there, but if the corners don't lock up, the coverage doesn't lock up, and maybe you got a backer in that first zone window to where that quarterback's now got to hold on to that ball one to two more pumps or seconds, that allows the pass rush to get there as well. You know, so the one thing I love about football, me being a coach's kid, I've learned at a young age that football is a game of chess with live players. You know, you can move the what's the horsey? The bishop?
The knight.
Or something.
The knight.
That one. You can move the knight as a coach, Mike Kafka, Wink Martindale. I can move my knight to that spot, but the knight's got to catch the ball. Or the knight's got to beat that. You've got to beat that tackle on that one-on-one blitz that I just set up for you. So that's how I look at it. And when you look at the Falcons, it was a problem on the back end when it came to Grady Jarrett.
Well, that's why we got Jesse Bates in the offseason. And
Jeff Okuda, who I think is...
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to work out, but...
I guarantee you Okuda has over 5 interceptions this year.
Oh,
sometimes you need to get out. You need to get out of a place, man. Detroit, I love what they're doing offensively. I love what they've done this year defensively. But Detroit was Swiss cheese on defense for the longest time. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe he was in the wrong set. We drafted you to be X, but our system doesn't allow you to be X. Find somewhere new. Now you got Jesse Bates over the top. You got AJ on the other side.
Oh, AJ Terrell is my favorite.
Now you've got, you know what I'm saying? So when people... Yeah. This is what I want people, when I hop on podcasts and I'm talking like fans and all that stuff, it's like, don't fall into the trap. And I'm not saying you guys do this. Don't fall into
the trap. We definitely do this.
Whatever you say, we've done it.
Fall in the trap and just be like, this guy's a bum. This guy fucking sucks. Like, he goes, oh, man. Oh. I'm cutting him from my fantasy league. Go look at the system. Go look at how with that D coordinator, what corners or what position, different position groups, who's thrived within that type of coordinator system. You know, that's why, I love doing this, because it's like, it's putting homework on the fans now to where it's just, oh, he only had 3 interceptions. He sucks. Does he, or did he just have a horrible defensive line that couldn't get there and the quarterback just sitting there patting the ball like it's 7-on-7, you know, being able to make accurate throws because there's no pressure. There's a lot that plays into it. That's why I think Atlanta is going to be great for it.
I would love that. I mean, I think you're going to find out pretty quick, because I think quarterbacks are wise enough and offensive coordinators that AJ Terrell is like on the bubble of being a shutdown corner. So I think he's going to get targeted a lot. So you'll find out pretty quick, I think, if
you can still throw out AJ Terrell. He hasn't shown up enough to be not thrown at. Mm. Like Sauce Gardner is don't throw at. AJ Terrell.
He's on the edge. He's getting there.
If you've got a Jamar Chase or one of those guys, I'm definitely throwing at that. If I got Odell out there, I'm still throwing at that. Gabe Davis from Buffalo Bills, I look at that matchup. That's the tier to where I start looking at it to like, oh, maybe I'll go to Cowboys. You know what I mean? But against a top tier receiver, he's AJ Terrell still open game.
So on the topic of in terms of topic of fans falling into a trap of a player being bad or good or whatever, what's your opinion on Amari Cooper? The reason why I ask this, I think that he's one of the most talented receivers in the league, but he's just highly inconsistent. Some weeks he can get 200 yards. The next week he's shut down for almost no catches. And in Dallas, he had a team where he had talent around him in every position offensively. So you can't really say it was the quarterback was the issue. He didn't have, there's no protection, or there was no running game, or there was no other help around him. So what do you think is maybe the reason for that, or what's your opinion on him?
I think he's one of the top 5 route runners in the league. I think he's one of the top 5 route technicians in the league, but Coop is not a flashy guy. You know, my girlfriend's best friend, my girlfriend's best friend's husband is his uncle. Paul Schwartz, the Schwartz kid that's on Cleveland, number 10. And he was saying how Schwartz is like, Coop is one of those guys where it's like, when they finish a game, he flies to go see his family. Like he's one of those dudes like I come to work and then I'm gone. Coop doesn't get recognition because Coop's not flashy.
Right.
And Coop's been in situations, you know, he and Dak did work. And the things that he and Dak did were great. Last year he had, you know, bums throwing. Oh, I don't want to call Jacoby Brissett a bum, but, you know, you didn't have
not elite. Yeah, not elite quarterbacks. Yeah.
I just don't like doing that personally. You know, as a former player, I don't think any of these guys are bums. You know, like you're in the NFL. I don't care if you're on a practice squad or not. You're an elite level of athlete. But I'm just saying, compared to Dak, you didn't have guys that were throwing to you. I think this year, Elijah Moore is really going to help alleviate some of the coverage that gets dictated over top of Coop. Just think about this, fellas. Wide receiver is a position to where your success is predicated on so many other position groups other than you. Mm-hmm. Offensive line has to hold up. Quarterback has to see you. And on top of that, the route concept has to be that's called has to be in your favor. You know, like there's routes. When you call a route, you call for a one high safety side, a two high safety side. You know, when you call a play, route concept.
Yeah.
So if it's one high safety, I might not even get looked at over here if I'm on the two high safety side. You know?
Yeah.
So it's about, there's a Kevin Stefanski that's there in Cleveland. You know they're going to try and scheme him up to get him the ball. But on top of that, who was his number two last year? If there's no one that dictates the coverage away from me and you've got Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, I'm just going to double you.
Yeah,
I'm going to take my CB2 and one of my safeties and W and then put my CB1 on y'all's wide receiver two. Everybody's locked up now. And then, but what people was going to be like, oh, he's inconsistent. He's not, this wide receiver is just not a position to where you could be like, oh, I'm going to consistently get 10 catches, 10 targets a game. A defense kind of dictates that in a sense, unless you're forcing it. But you've got to be at a different tier. Stephon Diggs, Davante Adams, you've got to be that tier to where I feel comfortable as a quarterback forcing it to you instead of going to where my read dictates.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think Elijah Moore being in Cleveland now is going to help because even though it could be third, let's say third and eight, I'm a double Coop, but Elijah Moore being so good in the slot, being so good, you know, as a route technician as well, he's going to get that first down. So now it's like, I keep doubling Coop. I'm taking that away, but this dude is killing my nickel corner. Yeah. I got to rethink this. Let's slide the safety back up. Boom, boom, boom. There he goes. It's chess. It's a beautiful game of chess played with live players.
Okay, but the guy controlling the chess pieces is your head coach. Denver have finally got themselves a head coach. How much does that change the ability for, let's say, the king chess piece of Russell Wilson this year after you used the phrase bum discussing some people? Russell Wilson, I think it's fair to say, looked like an absolute bum last year. The number of reads he was missing, the fumbles, the interceptions, just disastrous from a guy that I've always had as like a top tier player. In Seattle, in his prime, was one of my favorite guys to watch, even though I'm not a Seattle fan. Do we get a chance under Peyton to see Russell Wilson back again? Or do you buy into the Russell Wilson seems like a different person because we see so much more of him like off the field than we used to in the early Pete Carroll days with Seattle, the Legion of Boom kind of era where they went to the back-to-back Super Bowls? Do you think there is a problem with Russell Wilson? Or will it be all fixed by Sean Payton?
I'm going to answer your question, and I got a question for you. Allow me to retort.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think, again, the head of the snake, Brian Daboll, Sean Payton, Bill Belichick, you're like, you're parliament. You set the rules. You set the legislation. But now your assistant coaches – and your senior leadership, your leadership with the players, you guys are the deputies, you're the sheriffs, you enforce the culture. I think last year, Russell Wilson was able to get away with so much. On top of that, LaFleur, let's just be honest, LaFleur wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to be a head coach out there in Denver. And you see that. You see the crumble when it comes from – you see the fall when it comes to everybody. Just look at everybody's stats on offense last year. Looked horrible. Not just Russ. Russ is just the guy with the weird Subway commercials. So that's the one we're going to talk about.
That's weird, though. Sandwich. That is weird.
Absolute horrible sandwich.
The not spicy, spicy sandwich. Like,
spicy. It's spicy. Like, yo, Russ, you're different. No, bro. Like, chill with the Aaron Hernandez shit, man. Like, but I think you saw the success Sean Payton and Drew Brees had together. Who's to say that? How much better is a Drew Brees than a Russell Wilson? Like, what can Drew Brees do that Russell Wilson can't do? They both can throw the deep ball. They both have accuracy. Russell Wilson is a little bit more mobile, as we've seen. But if you can't have – if Sean Payton – this is more on Sean Payton than it is Russell Wilson. Sean Payton, you've had all the success with Taysom Hill. You made Taysom Hill look like a somewhat legitimate quarterback. So between him, I don't know if he was he there with Aaron Brooks? Had Aaron Brooks looking pretty decent, Drew Brees. If you can't have that same success with Russell Wilson, then that's more on the why did we bring you in as the head coach?
Yeah.
As opposed to the player. So on top of that, because Russell Wilson does things outside of the sport, is he now distracted? Is he now like, do players now have to just go read their playbook 24 freaking hours in the day after you've been reading it all throughout camp practice and all?
Can I believe now, that's in Kyler Murray's contract, isn't it, though? That is in Kyler Murray's contract that he has to read it 24/7, or it was at one point. So, I mean, apparently, according to some teams, it has to be. Like, I mean, you got to get it down as the starting quarterback. That is a...
Like a Hank is a Hank is a Hank is a Hank. That's curl flat. Curl flat. Like, it's just called something completely different in another, on another team. And so Russell Wilson, what, 8 Pro Bowls? Should have had 2 Super Bowls. And it's not like he was just trash during, you know, everyone's like Legion of Boom. They had the defense, but he was making something. Look at the receivers he had, you know, he was making plays, and he's made plays throughout the course of his career. So automatically, one bad year, does that make a player a bum? Off of one bad year compared to 8 top, what we put him in the top 5 of quarterbacks for those 8 years. And then 1 year, everyone's like ready to write him off because everyone thinks like, oh, players, they have to be, oh, you're just football. You just, bro, that's not some of these dudes, bro. They don't even like football. The majority of them don't even like it. It's just, yo, I can make $10 million a year catching a freaking ball. I'm gonna work out enough. I'm gonna learn this playbook enough, and I'm gonna make enough plays to get paid because this is generational wealth. They're the Russell Wilsons, they're the Tom Brady's. Those dudes eat it. Eli Manning ate it. Chad Pennington, when I was with him in Miami, breathed it, walked it, sleep it. And I didn't. As a coach's son, I burnt out mentally. Like my dad, I always joke, he had us drawing up cover two at the age of 2. You know, we used to always go into work with him. I had to draw up coverages. He was a D-line coach, stunts, all that stuff. When I got to the league, the football aspect, the gladiator part was awesome. But that one Maxim, that first Maxim party that I went to, and it was like, oh, shit. Hi, I'm Brandon. Hi, beautiful. I'm Brendan. Hey, beautiful. Hey, I'm it. Some people get caught up too much in that. I did. Yeah. Russell Wilson's not one of those guys. So all he's doing is working on a brand. And I believe that he's got the body of work already to be able to do commercials and do stuff with Sierra and stuff, you know? Yeah. So I think that Russell Wilson and Sean Payton are going to have something beautiful this year. And last but not least, Tim Patrick is back. When Tim Patrick, no, I know he's not a big name because they got Cortland Sutton, they got Jerry Jeudy, they got Noah Fant, No, the North fan's gone.
They lost him to the Seahawks. Yeah.
There's another.
I can't remember his name. It's really difficult to pronounce. I know who you mean.
It sounds Polish. Yeah. It sounds Eastern European kind of name. Yeah. The tight end is very good.
Patrick went down. I'll go back. I check receipts. I tweeted last year when Tim Patrick went down, this is going to be a bigger blow than people think, because Tim Patrick was just, I lived in Denver for 3 years. I got to watch him with the knee injuries and all, then come back. Tim Patrick is just, he's a glue guy. Throw it to him on 3rd and 6, he's going to get you 8. Throw the ball up there, he's going to make some sort of weird play that keeps it going. You know, Sutty is the possession guy. Judy is supposed to be the big play guy. But Tim Patrick was going to keep that offense going. And then when the running back, Javonte Williams got hurt. That hurt big time, man. Like, Russell's used to having a monster running game, because that's the whole play action aspect of it. There are drop back quarterbacks, and then there are quarterbacks that thrive off of nakeds, boots, rolls. And that's just that play action game was a big part of Russell's game. And to take away a strong run game, I believe that hurt him as well.
Greg Dulcich is the tight end who performed really well last year when he came in and kept on making steps up.
How many touchdowns did he have?
I think he had 4 by the end of the season. Didn't have like loads, but it because he kept on
early, and that made a lot of people pick him up on their fantasy.
Mm.
But then, you know, once you're a crap, the crap just falls all. That's the weird part about football. Once it's just like, damn, man, like this sucks. It hits everybody, every single body in that locker room. And then it's just like, all right, we're 4-12. Let's get the freak up out of here. Let's go to Cancun, regroup, and then we'll start again next year.
Mm. Yeah, it's a really interesting one, that Russell Wilson thing, because from a fan's perspective, obviously, and that's how we watch it, I'll always say it's interesting when you see players use social media and everything else to create their own brand while they're playing, and then when the sport kicks them in the behind for a season, as it did with Russell Wilson, for instance, I'd never say he's a bad quarterback for his career at all, but I think it's very fair to say that was a bad year last year. And I think when you flaunt the media to create your brand and you use it to amplify things in a positive nature for yourself, it leaves you more open for that negative criticism. You know, I don't personally, I watch American football for what happens on game day. So much of this offseason I've let pass me by because I don't care about the camp tropes, Aaron Rodgers is looking amazing when he's connecting with like Breece Hall out in the flats. It's like, fine, yeah, but that's, as you said, they're running man on man. There's very little contact at the moment. It's like pitch and catch for these guys right now. Half of it's not padded. So I don't care about that kind of stuff in some way. I care about what happens during the season. And if you're using social media to flaunt yourself, and then I will always think, well, is that becoming a distraction? It's the first thing that always goes in my head of like, right, when I'm seeing you out with your wife, I'm seeing you out doing this, you're doing Subway commercials, etc.
Don't you think you're shortchanging yourself then?
Maybe.
As a media member, because a lot of those, let's say those workout videos, let's say Saquon with Daniel Jones and those guys out in Arizona. I just mentioned how Darren Waller
coming, yeah,
and Daniel Jones on day one were connecting. I'm like, yo, they were doing, you can tell they were working out in Arizona. So that picture that they may have posted out in Arizona, everybody's shirts off, body's looking better than mine because, you know, I'm a dad, I got a dad body now. Like that picture that they posted back in June, that's the work that made them day one ready for how they looked good today on day one. You know, so there's a lot that there's just so much like football. What you see on the field is the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of underlying work. There's a lot of underlying failures, triumphs, adversities that go underneath to where that shit's been bubbling up for some of these guys for a long time. And then bam. That Aaron Rodgers to Breece Hall in the flats could be because they've been meeting so much. And Aaron's like, on this blitz, if this backer comes off, then get to the flats right away. Don't even worry about it. And then they connect, and that's money. And then there's a game you win to get you into the playoffs, all because of the work that you've been putting in since April, May, April, May, March. So that's why I say you gotta be on it just as much as these guys are on it. You ain't gotta like that sub. You ain't gotta like the post about the sandwich. I for damn sure didn't, but that at least lets you know, like, Russ has been, cooking, literally. He's been cooking, getting ready. And then now that just personalized the player for you a little bit more, for when they do make plays and all in the season. But that's just me. I think it all now it's a new type of football to where it's 360 now.
I was going
to
say it's 24/7, 365 NFL these days. And I think that almost is a negative and a positive because it's very difficult to filter. Every single time at this year, we will hear stories from different camps about how this guy looks like he's having that breakout season this year. This guy's looking like he's connecting perfectly. Only a small minutiae of those are actually going to come to fruition when we get to the season. So you're going to have like 85% of just
noise,
hyperbole, and then actually 15% that comes to fruition and makes a difference down the line. Like last year, this time last year, Jalen Hurts is throwing the ball better than we've ever seen him throw before. Last year, I went from being out on Jalen Hurts' arm to so in after about 4 weeks. I was like, this guy can throw so much better than we saw 12 months ago. I'm fully in on this guy. So there is something to be said for it. I think when it becomes 365, 24/7, it then becomes difficult to work your way through the weeds, basically.
Yeah. I think what you're saying about Russell Wilson, I think it's also just natural that people... it's just like a human weakness. I think people didn't like Russell Wilson that much, and like it didn't seem like he was the most popular guy in Seattle when he left. I heard a lot of like rumors about that. Maybe he wasn't a locker room guy. He's really weird, like we pointed out, like the adverts, like the way he talks and stuff, Mr. Unlimited, and like all the, like he's a bit of a weird guy. He's very extra. Like I think that people like jumping on like people that they're just not that enthused about. Like if people liked, I'm trying to think of like a really universally popular
Marshawn Lynch
quarterback.
Oh right, okay. So
but like Marshawn Lynch, people really liked him and like
Joe
his
Burrow.
Style.
If Joe, he... Burrow.
Joe Burrow. Joe yeah, Burrow. Burrow. People like Joe Burrow. He's got a great story. He came back from the injury. Yeah, Joe Burrow, everybody seems to like him. He's got swagger, he's a cool guy. Like if he has a down year now, I think people will be more like forgiving. And be like, oh, he's got this body of work behind him. Like you said, he'll come back and he'll be better next year. He's just getting a new head coach. But like, I think with Russell Wilson, people are piling on because they just don't really like him.
It so, didn't like... help as well seeing one of his defensive linemen get in his face.
Yeah.
You midway see through that the season. From your teammate. It says
oh, yeah, totally. I mean, it's probably for a reason. I don't think people gel with him. But that shouldn't change... That's just a kind of that's just like that doesn't really mean anything if people don't like him or not. Like we'll see what happens on the pitch, and I think you might be right. Like I think Sean Payton could make most quarterbacks, 40% better or something. Like he's one of the best coaches that I've seen.
Two things. Like there's 53 guys make a roster, right? There's 53 different personalities, so. You might like a guy, but I'm like, man, I can't stand that MF-er, I might like a guy, you can be like, man, he's too cocky. So at the end of the day, like someone, I can tweet out this podcast, be like, yo, dope podcast. Somebody can be like, oh man, I don't like Oliver because X, Y, Z. There's people, they're not going to like you just because, bro. Yeah. Like it just is what it is. And it goes back to Tom Brady and Man in the Arena. You're the. This is what the. I was talking to Jalen Mickens today, and we were just talking about just the man being the man in the arena, the gladiator. There's no better feeling. That's why I love Draymond Green, because he's so in your face with the fans. He's so F you guys. We're gonna go beat this team. We're gonna go sweep this team. What? I'm telling y'all. Half the players don't even like the fans, man. Like, if you really look at, you really break down the fans, they are the most emotional people in the world. So, and their loyalty is to the logo. It's like, Chelsea FC, when they touch the crest, when they Reece James scores, they touch the crest. Chelsea fans are loyal to Chelsea. So if a Pulisic or Reece James or Mason Mount goes to Man U, they blow up on Mason Mount. Like, why not get mad at Todd Boehly? Why not get mad at Roman for, you know, what Roman was? I'm not going to talk drastic about Roman because I might end up in a...
Yeah, I was going to say, you want to be careful on that one, man.
And nothing about Roman, guys. If you want to edit that part out, please do. But anyways, you know what I'm talking about? Like, the fan base, they're loyal to the club. They're not loyal to the player.
I'd say that's changing, man. So
the player's always, you're always going to be the bad guy if you go against the club or logo.
That's an older view, I think, in modern era sports. Not saying that, like, it's wrong. I do think people are more loyal to a logo. I support the Eagles. I don't necessarily support the player. Jalen Hurts, for instance, if he went somewhere else, I'd be like, right, I'm going to be a Philly fan about this. I'm not going to be diplomatic. But at the same time, I think in the modern day social media, see more of the individual players out there, especially the elite players. Look, I love Michael Vick. For all of what he did off the field and everything like that, I still love Michael Vick. The fact he played for Philadelphia in the end was a dream for me. But I loved him in Atlanta, even when I was in love with the Philadelphia Eagles in the early part of my NFL kind of viewing. I thought Vick was the game changer. He was the man. He was the most exciting player to watch on the planet. And any team he went to, I would have still loved Michael Vick without a problem. And I think you're seeing it in soccer. You know, Messi goes to Inter Miami. They go from 1 million Ronaldo to 12 million followers. Ronaldo goes to Saudi Arabia. Basketball, you're seeing people follow players more than we're seeing people follow teams more and more. People want to see, and obviously it happens with the greats as opposed to, you know, the mid-level roster guys. But I do think we will get more people following more individual players as opposed to teams as we continue kind of the societal trend at this point.
Which is why it has to be 365. Because just think, Jalen Hurts had to play his way into your good graces. Mm. Like, Jalen Hurts, if you're a Jalen Hurts fan and you're a follower of his story and, you know, his work ethic and the videos that he posts in terms of him getting work, a lot of people would have jumped on that bandwagon prior to this season. Like, man, this dude's putting in work. You know, I'm a root for this guy because of the work that he put in. But remember, that's too much NFL action for you. That's too much entertainment. You just want between the lines. So it took you a little bit of time to become a Jalen Hurts fan. So there could be some fans looking at you like, yo, you're late, bro. Like, where you been? Like,
oh,
you know,
I was late. Don't worry. A lot of people told me I was late on that one.
Yeah.
And like you said, like the names that you're mentioning, Messi, when he signed with PSG, they had a rise of like 400% on their Instagram following and all. Yep. Then when he left, all of them started unfollowing him. Mm-hmm. That's it. We're talking anomalies. We're talking ghosts. When we say Ronaldo, LeBron, Jordan, we're talking guys that let's say there's 100 million babies born today. Only 5 are going to grow up to challenge Messi, Gretzky, Jeter, Jordan, the creme de la, the Ronaldos, the creme de la cremes, you know. Other than that, this is why you have to have social media. This is why you kind of, if you want to, some players, they don't want nothing to do with media at all. Like, getting some of the Giants players to try and like do the little tiny mics and stuff. I'm like, dude, like, I know you get like 40 million, but you have zero personality. But he don't care. He don't care. I'm here to play football. Yeah. I'm getting my money. I'm not getting my money to be on the Tonight Show with Brandon London or something like, you know, like, I'm getting my money to smash heads, which is cool. So some players, they need the 360 of it. Because you got to build this brand. You got to build, there's life outside of sport, you know, in that sense. But I think for the content creators, for the influence, for the media, they have to be involved with this 360 now, because you got to be up on a player during the summer. You got to cash in or bet the chips on a player during the summer. Because if you come in and start talking, not you necessarily, but if you start coming talking highly of Jalen Hurts in November, when in March and May you're bashing them, now it's like bandwagon, you know what I'm saying? And then you get called out. And you know how them Philly fans are. You don't want to call you out.
Yeah, but, although Ollie's not from Philly, he is a prototypical Philly fan.
Oh, yeah. I also love the idea. I've got a mental image when you're talking, Brandon, about Jalen Hurts like plotting in the offseason. How do I impress Ollie Wilson in the UK?
I need to get him his good graces. How am I going to do that?
I need to throw the yards.
He's doing the Tim Tebow thing.
Yeah. How do I get through to this Ollie Wilson?
If only.
Hey, I got
benched for Tua. I had to go to another school. I won the Heisman. That was hard to get over, but there's nothing like trying to impress Ollie Wilson. How do I crack that? What's the algorithm?
Hey, look, I'm a tough one to impress. Like I say, my proof is in the pudding with me. Like, and again, because we hear all the stuff every year, you know, the Cam Newton videos every single, like the last 3 years or so of Cam's working out, Cam's doing it. Dude, the guy has got an incredible superhuman body without a doubt. He obviously puts the work in the gym, but he's not an NFL quarterback anymore because we've seen time and time. He's not.
Name 32 better than Cam Newton. Name 30. Well, you don't you have can't. To.
I agree with you entirely.
Back, tweet me. There's not 32. There's not, maybe right now because he's been removed from the game for a long time, for quite some time now. But even when he wasn't that good up in New England. You couldn't still name 32 quarterbacks better than Cam Newton.
I agree.
In terms of what he brings to the table.
Gardner Minshew's okay. There's a difference between like the athletic ability he brings, for instance, and what a quarterback is designed to do as well, which is throw the ball. And Cam's shoulder wasn't able to perform a number of what we saw anyway on game day for the Patriots, a number of the required throws. Like,
you just say Gardner Minshew.
Gardner Minshew had a better arm than Cam Newton at that point. Didn't have the same athletic ability, couldn't run it short or anything like that, but come on, man.
If you're an NFL GM and all the quarterbacks, every single quarterback is taken, you got good receivers, you got good. You mean to tell me you're going to grab Gardner Minshew over Cam Newton?
He might cost more, Gardner Minshew's. Cam might be cheap at this point.
Well, I can get a running back to run the ball in from the 2 yard line. So
yeah, that's what a running back is there for. And a
what
fullback.
Does Gardner do? What is he? If you're a defensive coordinator, here we go. Here's the question. Let me reframe this. You're Wink Martindale. Are you game planning against Cam Newton, overall, run, throw, whatever, or are you game planning against Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, Gardner
Minshew. Cam Newton couldn't throw the ball, so I mean, he was amazing when he was in his height. He was an MVP, like he was incredible. But
he still threw for a lot of yards that year as well.
Why would GMs have just let him go then if he was? He's like
if at that time you're not, they don't think you are a starting quarterback. If the GMs don't think you're a starting quarterback, it is what it is. But I'm not going to bring that big personality in to be a backup. You saw the whole Matt Jones thing. Like, as soon as he got released, that's where you're supposed to kind of chill for a couple weeks and wait to get picked up. He went straight on the podcast, went straight to the content, and was like, I think they let me go because Matt would have been a little intimidated by having me there. It's like,
you were saying that he was a starter, like that he was one of the 32 best QBs.
He wasn't terrible. You know, he wasn't great, but you got like a lot of these quarterbacks are not even that good, but they got studs.
Yeah. Yeah. The team around you helps as well. Obviously.
There are receivers that make, watch what happens in Tennessee. Ryan Tannehill's career will get revamped because D-Hop is there. And then you also, because D-Hop's there, Treylon Burks is going to eat. You know, and then the tight end with the –
I like Burks, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where there are receivers that make quarterbacks. But then, you know, the great ones, Mahomes, I can't say Burrow because look what Burrow has around him.
Yeah.
I can't – can we judge him? Yeah, if you put Burrow on that team that Cam Newton had in New England, where the Burt kid was your lead receiver, and you got Hunter Henry. Can you get freaky with a quarterback? Like, with those are your guys, those are your weapons, you know? Joe Burrow has T. Higgins, who's a wide receiver one, Ja'Marr Chase, who's a wide receiver one, Joe Mixon, who's an RB1. You got weapons.
And Tyler Boyd.
How can I forget? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You got three weapons to throw to, and then you got a running back to hand it off to. So we're crowning, and this no knock on Joe Burrow. I love the dude. But all we've seen him with is weapons. We've never seen him do it on his own. You know what I mean?
Do you think then, just going down this kind of thought process then, that the Mahomes Super Bowl win this year is the most impressive of his two rings so far? Because aside from Kelsey, you know, there was a slight lack of star power, can we say, in that receiver core to some extent. They're using a rookie running back in Isaiah Pacheco, for instance, who's fresh into the game. And we know how long it takes some people to kind of get to NFL speed and everything like that, particularly at that position, reading the line, reacting in time, being positive and continuing to be positive. Would you say that Mahomes' second Super Bowl ring is more impressive because we took away a load of those weapons? He still had that safety net of Kelsey, and that's an unbelievable safety net to have. But we're seeing why Mahomes is above all of these other quarterbacks, because we're now seeing him do it.
And third is going to be even better. Watch.
This year?
Third is going to be without Kelsey. Because, remember, Travis Kelsey is not commanding a lot of money. You know, Travis Kelsey, I think his deal ends with this year. Mm-hmm. You could go for 2 years and go get paid somewhere. Like, go get paid. You know, you did what you had to do with this dynasty. So, the next one is going to have to come without Travis Kelce. They're going to, not this draft, but net following draft, they might use that late first round pick on a tight end, on a stud tight end to replace Kelce. So I think it's his third Super Bowl where people are going to be like, damn, this dude, he didn't have Hill. He didn't have Kelce.
He only had one leg.
One leg, a screaming wife, a TikTok brother.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
And still won a Super Bowl. That to me, right there, like, what's the Wayne's World? We're not worthy. You know.
So he's not getting it this year, then. You're saying the Chiefs aren't running it back?
I don't think so. I think the Super Bowl champ comes out the NFC.
Oh,
I think the NFC is going to beat up. There's going to be a lesser team. Don't be surprised if the Jacksonville Jaguars play in the AFC Championship and sneak into the Super Bowl.
Whoa.
Don't be surprised if you hear that. I think a lesser tier team is going to beat a team they're supposed to, or somebody else is going to beat that top team, and then that lesser tier team goes and beats that team to go into the Super Bowl in the AFC. I think it's going to be the Jets or Jaguars that represent the AFC on the
Who
Super
do you
Bowl.
Like from the NFC, though?
Got to be the Niners, surely.
Honestly, right now, nobody. Nobody knocks my socks off. I think that the Eagles could take a little step back when you've lost two coordinators. You know, I know we talk about pros and Joes are better than X's and O's, but at the same time, like, you, those are two hell of coordinators, man, that the Eagles had last year. So, no one really
not losing it on offense, not losing it on offense in Philadelphia. Like, they knew Brian Johnson's ready to step in. Offense is going to be fine.
Offense, you still got the offense there. So, I think the Eagles are still the favorite. Obviously the 49ers. You know what they bring. Brock Purdy's already cleared to throw. That's
really.
Clear, man. He's clear.
That's sick. That was so sad the way that game ended. So, well, I hope he can come back well. He was awesome.
Bro, it was the worst, but you know,
I was okay.
It's one of those, I got a look from the girl to go. Have the baby. So
no, Brandon, man. Thanks. I didn't realize we've had you for almost an hour, man. So I do apologize for taking up so much of your time, but look, quickly just say where everybody can find your stuff. Obviously, I know you're doing loads on social media for the New York media and New York Post and everything.
At Brandon London TV on all social. Make sure you guys follow. Check out at NY Sports, at NY Post Sports. Do all the content for the New York Post, all their sports, and at SNY TV as well. But definitely keep an eye on all the Giants contact, TikToks, Snapchats, all that. I'm all over the place. And then in-game emceeing, you know, with the Giants. So appreciate you guys having me on, man.
Hey, I love it, man. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it, buddy. Take care. Good luck with the family for the rest of the season.
All right, fellas. Take it easy.
Ooh,
I'd still take Garner Minshew. I'd take Garner Minshew over Cam Newton in the New England days.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I think he's forgetting how bad he was, but...
Cam's athletic ability is a game changer, but like that is, you got to throw.
Yeah, I know. But I don't agree with everything Brandon was saying there, but he comes in with fire. He's like, he's good. Like,
nice guy, man. Really nice guy. Stuff.
Like, it's really cool hearing him talk. Really cool.
Anything else you want to add before we sign out? I mean, there was quite a bit in terms of. Justin Herbert got paid this offseason. Well, he got paid today. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. I mean, we kind of covered that with the... I'm tired of that. I'm happy
to get into that stuff like next week. I've got like... I want to do this mock draft.
Oh, yeah.
I was messaging you about this as well. If we come up with some positional groups and some players that we like, we can go around the room. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, we've still got like... couple of months until it really starts.
Yeah, and apparently I need to start focusing on all the videos that go out on social media for the next 2 months to find out who's been great in camp and all of this stuff.
Yeah, do your work, Ollie. Like, it's okay for me and Jazz. Like, we are just fans, but you're
obnoxious,
in the industry. Like,
obnoxious fans that Brandon seems to dislike greatly.
We're
basically what we are.
We're allowed to be obnoxious.
We didn't bring up Kirk Cousins.
You should be on the right side of the fence.
The Netflix show yet. I'm saving that for a different podcast because I haven't watched that yet either. I'm not.
No, maybe we should all watch it and report back. There are eight episodes, so I don't know if I
imagine they're an hour long.
That many, but
yeah, I think they're an hour long,
maybe.
And there's going to be like two of them dedicated to Cousins at least. So
yeah,
I actually want to watch.
Is Hurts in it?
No, it's Mahomes, Cousins Mahomes, and Mariota.
Oh.
Yeah. You can relive the Mariota days. Yeah.
I mean, it'd be cool to see some behind-the-scenes stuff, but if it just follows Marcus Mariota around...
And now he's an Eagle.
Yeah.
Which is, like...
You would have loved that back in the day.
Yeah, when Mariota was drafted, that was would have been my heaven. That would have been the next great thing. Yeah. Anyway, let's leave it there and come back to everything else later on.